hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
So we are continuing our series on This I Believe. And I have the portion tonight of I Believe in the Holy Spirit. When I was 16 years old, I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. And I thought that it was one big joke. My church at the time was having what they referred to as an outpouring of the Spirit. And people every week were coming to church and they were shaking violently under the power of God. They were speaking in tongues. They were saying that they were having visions. They were hearing God. And some people were even getting healed. But to me, it all felt fake and ridiculous. Until I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit late one night, alone in my bedroom. And there's a big backstory, but essentially, at that point in my life, I had totally turned my back from God, and I said, Lord, I believe in you, I want nothing to do with you, and I am on a path to find happiness. So that night, I was alone in my bedroom, and I actually wasn't feeling that happy that night. And I was like, this is not working. I am not happy. And all of a sudden, the presence of God entered my room, and I felt such a strong sense of the Holy Spirit. And he spoke this to me. The world can make you happy temporarily, but I can give you joy. And I said, God, I want you. And from that point forward, I said, Lord, you are the Lord of my life, and I am going to pursue you. From that point on, I looked at church a whole different lens. Everything felt exciting and powerful, and what the Holy Spirit was doing in our church was no longer ridiculous, but remarkable. And I then considered myself a Spirit-filled Christian. You may have heard that term, that they're a Spirit-filled church or they're a charismatic church because the Holy Spirit is evident in that place. But what I soon found out is that the Holy Spirit doesn't belong to Spirit-filled Christians or Spirit-filled churches. Or even a specific denomination. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the triune God who comes and dwells on the inside of us when we give our lives to Christ. So if you are a believer tonight who profess that you follow Jesus, then the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. You woke up this morning with the power of a billion suns on the inside of you, and you did not blow up. It's amazing. He dwells inside of you. Now, the reason that I had a change where at one point what was happening in my church was just total foolishness and ridiculous, and then I had a shift and it became remarkable, is because it was like the lights were turned on and I could see. And I want to show you an image. This is an optical illusion. It has two images in one. Many of you may see a young woman. Few people see a young woman. But there is also a old woman in this photo. Do you see it? Does anyone not see it? So the old woman, the bottom of the young woman's neck is her chin. Do you see it? So there's an aha moment that happens. In 1 Corinthians, it says that the ways of God is foolishness to the world, that the gospel, that the Holy Spirit, that everything that God is about is foolishness to the world. And that's how I felt. But until you have an aha moment, and you can't go back and unsee both of those images, you're forever changed. The lights are turned on. So when the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of us, it was the moment that Jesus died on the cross, and where the Holy Spirit had been dwelling in a physical temple in the Holy of Holies, Jesus dying on the cross separated that divide and brought forth the Holy Spirit to dwell in each person. So no longer is God like a coach who is saying, this is the standard, be this, be that. But he is a coach that is cheering you on and putting himself inside of you to actually do it and to be who he calls you to be. It's the only religion where God comes and lives inside of us to actually call us forward and to renew our minds and to transform us into his image. So for several months, I understood the Holy Spirit just as a power, that there were miracles happening and there was just glorious things happening. It was like a force that he was moving in our church. But what I came to realize is that the Holy Spirit isn't just moving externally, but that he's moving internally inside of us, transforming us into the image of Christ. God is calling each and every one of us to walk in the Spirit. So what does that look like? What does it look like to walk in the Spirit? I thought that to walk in the Spirit meant that you were able to do miracles. It meant that when you prayed for someone, that they'd be healed. That to walk in the Spirit meant that you could hear God's voice and be able to communicate it to others. But that is the power of God that is a gift that is not earned. Walking in the Spirit is a daily process. Walking in the Spirit produces the fruit of the Spirit. And that fruit is not healings and miracles, but that fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you have his fruit in your life? I want to look at Galatians 5. And we see that there is a battle between the Spirit and the lust of the flesh. It says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now he lists the works of the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident. They are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. Now, I love the phrase that Paul uses near the end of this verse of walking in the Spirit, because it infers a daily practice. He even states, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And the distinction, I feel like, living in the Spirit plus walking in the Spirit, the distinction is like I live in a marriage. As a legal contract, I am married. It's good news, right, Josh? Legally, I am married. But if I were just to live in a marriage, but not to walk as a married person, it would be a very unfulfilling, empty marriage. So you need to have the application on a day-to-day basis of what that actually looks like. And it's the same way with God. Many of us have legally said, our lives are yours, God. We have signed the contract. But then on a day-to-day basis, we don't have the application of bearing fruit of what it looks like to actually be in that relationship. So, a couple of years ago, Josh and I were living in Kansas City, and we were about 2 years into marriage, and there was this guy at our church who began to pursue me for a relationship. And he knew that I was married, and he continued to pursue me anyways. And even the threat of Josh's blunt end of his baseball bat did not sway him, and he still pursued me. And he would send me notes and gifts and flatteries and compliments and messages. And he was just relentless. Now, how many of you know that when you become a Christian, you have no more struggles in your life? And when you, yes, oh, great. And when you become married, you never struggle with lust or any other thing that would challenge your marriage. It doesn't happen that way. So I would like to tell you that as that guy was pursuing me, that I put up healthy boundaries. I distanced myself from him, and I walked the other way. But that's not how I felt. He was like lavishing all these compliments and all this attention on me, and part of my heart loved the attention. And I opened up my heart just a little bit. I was like, okay, this is nice. And one night, he sent me a Facebook message, and Josh was at work, and I read this message, and it said, lots of compliments, lots of flatteries. And then he asked a question. He said, do you want to get together for some coffee and get to know each other better? And I immediately felt a pit in my stomach, that I was on a slippery slope. And I cried out to the Lord. Because you see, the problem wasn't that he was pursuing me. The main problem was that my heart was actually responding to it. And I needed the Holy Spirit to intervene and to change my emotions. And God says that when we ask him, we'll receive. and that we have a God who is actually able to shift our emotions, to shift our thoughts, and to produce the fruit of righteousness. So I cried out to the Lord, and in that moment, he brought to me a story. And it was the story of Jacob and Esau. And I'm guessing many of you are familiar with it, but just a quick summary is that Jacob and Esau were brothers. Esau was the eldest, and he was to receive the inheritance. Jacob didn't think that was all that fair, and so he concocted a plan. One day when Esau came home from a very long hunting trip and was very hungry, Jacob offered him a bowl of soup. And Esau said, "What do you want in return for the soup?" And Jacob said, "If you give me your inheritance, I will give you this soup." And Esau was like, "Done. That is a good idea." Because he was hungry. And it satisfied a temporary desire that he had. And the Lord was saying to me, the Holy Spirit was speaking to me in that moment and saying, "Are you going to sell your marriage for a temporary happiness of attention?" And I immediately just felt so grieved and so repentant. And within a couple of minutes, the Holy Spirit had transformed my emotions, and I had totally shut my heart down towards this guy. The walls went up, and I did not look back. The Holy Spirit is able to transform us way better than our strivings and our working. He can transform us into the likeness of Christ and bear the fruit of righteousness. Now, we would really like for righteousness to just grow in our lives overnight. But the fruit that Jesus talks about, it is a process. And just like a tree that doesn't just bear fruit, but day after day, the light and water, eventually it will be a full tree of fruit. And that is the same with our lives. It's not that we won't struggle with the lusts of the flesh that were described, but it's as we fight and get victory, we develop a resilience inside. And we are able to stand up to temptation. I had a Bible college or a Bible teacher once who said that he has struggled with anger his whole life. And he used to get triggered and then be angry for weeks on end. But as he fought and as he strove for truth and asked the Holy Spirit to transform him, when he would get triggered now, he'd be angry for like 20, 30 minutes, because the Holy Spirit was doing a work in him and truly transforming him. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Practically, I have found that it's by talking to the Spirit. If you talk to the Holy Spirit, you will walk in the Spirit. Invite him in to every situation in your life. When you feel anger, when you feel impatience, when you feel any sort of emotion, ask the Holy Spirit to produce fruit of righteousness on the inside of you. And he will begin to do a work on the inside. So if you believe in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you 24/7. Don't let it just be a legal contract, but walk daily with him, inviting him to be with you. If there's a situation in your life right now where you need the Holy Spirit to empower you to walk in His fruit, I encourage you that as we go back into worship in a few minutes, that you would invite Him into that situation. Can the worship team come up? So one day I was flying back to the U.S. and the flight was not a very smooth one. It was extremely turbulent for about an hour and a half, and people around me were all feeling it and they were not doing well, if you know what I mean. And I was like, whew, I'm glad I'm okay. Well, a few minutes later, I joined them in the party, and I was just miserable. And after like the 17th time, I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, please help me. And I decided in that moment to try something. I invited the Holy Spirit into that moment. And I said, Holy Spirit, would you come and be with me right now? And I tell you, I felt the most immense joy I have ever felt in my life. And as I was throwing up, I just felt the presence of God and the joy of God. Because He is able to be greater than every circumstance in your life. If you invite Him in, it's a relationship. He wants to be invited.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.